The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. President of the United States causing controversy again with his tweeting habits. If he just didn't tweet, right now, what would you have to complain about with Donald Trump? I don't think there'd be anything.
Would there be news?
There wouldn't. Yeah, there would be a news cycle. It would stop.
He sets the tone with that, right?
Yes. What he tweets is generally going to be that day's or the next day's headlines all over America and maybe the world. He tweeted exactly what we said on the air yesterday morning on this broadcast.
100%.
When Kim Jong-un tweeted about, oh, I've got the button on my desk. Yeah, okay. You understand that the United States has a button, that Donald Trump's got a button, and it will fire off a lot more firepower than you're capable of. It'd destroy your stupid little country 1,000 times over.
Yes.
Well, it's essentially exactly what he tweeted. I don't know if he was listening at the time and thought, yeah, that's a good, point. I'm going to tweet that out.
I believe he
the difference is, I'm a talk show host. He's president of the United States. Yeah, so, you know, there are things talk show hosts say that maybe the president shouldn't. I mean, it's possible. The other thing is,
if you tweet something,
mm-hmm.
does it make it so?
No, not necessarily, but the news cycle takes it that way.
It sure does.
The mainstream media takes it that way.
And you know darn well he was in Florida. He was listening to we're on
down the Glenn Beck program.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
No question.
Thought, hey, that's a good point, Pat. I'm gonna tweet that out right now. And his little thumb started in motion.
and then waited a few. You know, okay. So he waited. You know.
Yeah, what time did that tweet happen?
13 hours ago. So he waited 10 hours. I mean, you might even listen to the podcast.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah. Or a rebroadcast somewhere. Or maybe we weren't live in the city.
Oh, that's right.
In the city possible, in which he was residing in Florida. That's also possible.
Very possible.
I'm torn on the tweet itself. I'm torn on whether or not that's... Because he's taken kind of a hard line. He's taken a very hard line.
Yes, he has.
On his rhetoric with North Korea. And seemingly something's working because Kim Jong-un has definitely softened his rhetoric and his stance, especially towards South Korea. I mean, now they're reopening that hotline between North and South.
Yeah.
They're reestablishing that today.
And they tested it. Earlier, so it works. The phone line is open and it works, Pat.
And that was something that was discontinued a while ago, and it didn't look like there was any possibility of getting that back, and now it is. He also made overtures to the South Korean Winter Games, the Olympics that are coming up. They start next month, I think, in February. And essentially guaranteed their safety. He said, we wish them peace and believe they'll go off without a hitch. And everybody's been concerned about whether or not he would do some sort of strike and imperil the athletes of the world. And he seemed to kind of reassure people that that's not in the cards. I don't know. It may be a good thing that Trump has taken such a hard line with this guy. That's what these dictators understand.
We've said it for many years about a lot of the dictators around the world that us coming in being nice only makes us look weak in their eyes. So
exactly, you know, right.
I hope that that is true.
I do too. But for the part of the media, they go out of their mind when Trump does this kind of stuff. Colby Hall tweeted out, in hindsight, we should have all predicted the big and powerful button position from this administration. Well, yeah, so. Is it, and then Kumal Nanjiani tweets out, is it right next to the Diet Coke button? Please be careful. I mean, that's just stupid. That's just ridiculous.
I mean, that's social media right there.
From Bishop Talbert Swan, Trump is a reprehensible failure as a POTUS. This fool just written nuclear war over Twitter. His cabinet members should invoke the 25th Amendment. Okay. Let's calm down. Let's calm down a little bit. From Hunter Schwartz, Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. Donald Trump, tweet loudly and boast about the size of your nuclear button.
Okay.
And that's what he's doing. So you don't have to tell him that.
And by the way, it's been pretty clear. It's worked so far.
It honestly, it's hard to argue.
I know.
That it hasn't worked.
I know.
Because the situation with North Korea is, to me, a lot better. I mean, it felt like we were on the brink for a while. But now it doesn't feel that way at all.
And with, first of all, President Trump is not one we've learned to be able to take a perceived slam and not say anything back. So when Kim Jong-un, said, hey, if you attack us first, we've got a nuke ready to go too, and I've got the button right on my desk. That was his way of saying we're not going to attack first. But he was able to, save face for his people and say that, hey, we're big and bad too, and we'll fight back. Nobody's going to attack us. Don't you worry about it. But it was also said, hey, we're not going to attack, right?
Right.
And so, but to Trump, that's a perceived, my button is on my desk and we can still attack the United States. He takes that as, well, so what? That's right. You're not going to attack us.
Yes.
I mean, that's just Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just, it's his style.
Yeah.
And okay. Everybody knew it when they voted for him.
Absolutely.
Everybody knew
100%.
It. So he's actually doing what people put him in office to do.
Yes, he is.
It's a little reminiscent. I kept thinking all day after the tweet of the, do you remember the Kennel Ration commercial? My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. My dog's
bigger than your dog. Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
My dog's better than yours. My dog's shinier cause he gets Kennel Ration. My dog's better than yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's just my button's bigger than your button. Not because it eats Kennel Ration, but yeah, because we're the United States of America and you're not. So I don't know. It's fascinating. Because this was one of the things that we weren't excited about with the possibility of Trump. And yet, it's one of the things that is sort of working.
Yes, it is.
Foreign policy-wise, it seems.
Yeah, for now. I mean, absolutely. There are steps that could be taken, in the future that will help in that. I'm sure that there are. And that's what we have a State Department for, right?
Yes.
That's what Tillerson is there for. So, let Rex do his job. But as far as, the talk of Trump hampering that, I don't think so. I think this just helps us be able to walk in and say, we got a big stick too, pal.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And it's hard to believe that he didn't realize that because based on the things that he says and does, it seems he doesn't understand that.
It does.
And so Trump just reminds him.
Yeah, it does. And I think that comes with him being, while he's, the leader of this country, he's pretty sheltered and he's pretty, being that dictator, not a lot of people tell him no.
And yeah, he's got to put on a show for his people, too.
Yes, he does.
It's difficult to live up to deity. And that's what they've presented themselves as.
You are telling me, Pat.
Yeah. I also like... he has done some great foreign policy maneuvers. Obviously, acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel was one. This denial of $285 million to the UN is another.
It's a good start.
Threatening to cut off aid to the Palestinians, I think, is brilliant.
Absolutely.
At about time. He acknowledged his push to broker peace in the Middle East. It stalled a little bit, maybe, because yesterday he appeared to threaten to cut off U.S. aid money to the Palestinian Authority, asking why the U.S. should make, quote, any of these massive future payments, unquote,
And the, Pakistan too, right?
When the Palestinians are no longer willing to talk peace. Yeah, and Pakistan,
as well.
And Pakistan because they're harboring terrorists. And we've known that the whole time.
Sure have.
And we continue to just funnel hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to Pakistan and to the Palestinians. And I think this is the right way to go. In a pair of tweets, he said the U.S. pays the Palestinians hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and they get no appreciation or respect. It's exactly right. And I think there's a lot of Americans who have been frustrated about that for a long time. Again, another of the things that got Donald Trump elected president in the first place.
So don't be mad that he's doing what you wanted him, what you were, at least that's why he got elected, what those people who elected him wanted him to do. And that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, there's an argument to be made that pulling the plug on some of that cash to those terrorist entities is going to bring more terrorism. But I would argue against that, I think.
Certainly hasn't stopped it anyway.
Correct. It hasn't said, hey, be nice. So without the money, go find the money somewhere else.
Right.
Good luck.
And, you know, foreign policy by tweet is probably not the way to go either.
Well.
But again, we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
We knew this was his style.
Certainly is in today's world.
Yeah. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. You can also tune in right after this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network for Pat Gray Unleashed. 888-727-BECK. We were speaking about the decision to potentially withhold funds from the Palestinians because, as President Trump said yesterday, they're not interested in peace anyway. Why would we keep funneling hundreds of millions of dollars to them every year? It doesn't do any good. Meanwhile, in Jerusalem, they just passed a new law. The Knesset has just made it nearly impossible to ever allow a divided Jerusalem. So I don't blame him one bit. The article that I read on this was incredibly spun very, very negative towards Israel, as if this ends all hope of peace. Well, if somebody was demanding, let's say Canada was demanding that we divide Washington, D.C. in half, and they get part of Washington, D.C., and we keep the other part, would we treat that kindly? Would we agree to that? Oh, okay, that's what it's going to take for peace.
Oh, okay.
If ISIS said, look, we want half of Washington, D.C., and you can keep the other half. And then we'll stop bombing your malls, and we'll stop doing these suicide attacks. We tell them to go pound sand. That would never work. Nobody would ever agree to such a thing. Why do we expect it of Israel? Lawmakers approved a bill in the early hours of yesterday that required a special two-thirds majority vote in the Knesset to relinquish any part of Jerusalem to the Palestinians under any future peace accord. So they've essentially, because that's no, two-thirds of the Knesset is never going to agree to that, which they shouldn't. It's the capital of Israel. It always has been. It's never been Palestinian territory. Palestinian is a made-up name. It's what the British called the area, Palestine. It's what the Romans called the area, but there's no actual Palestine people.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'm positive. There never has been, and there just isn't. It's a made-up thing, and we're supposed to bow down to it. And if they would agree to at least recognize Israel as a state, a sovereign nation. But you've got the ruling class in the Palestinian territory in the Gaza Strip not even willing to do that.
Yeah,
so how do you even start on that situation? It's an impossible situation. Israel just has to look out for themselves. 888-727-BECK. Bill in West Virginia, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have this problem. When I hear these commercials on the radio and TV and that, where they're threatening the American young guy in that he has to comply with a selective service law, or he'll lose any sort of rights to a school loan or driver's license, or, you know, they're saying, well, you're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have commercials on the radio and TV telling these illegals that they're breaking the law, that they can't get this, you will be sent out of the country in that. They threaten the American people, the same with the tax law. They threaten the American people, we can take away your house and the rest of this stuff. But they don't say anything to these illegals.
No, that would be insensitive, Bill.
Right.
That would be insensitive.
Right.
Now, for some reason, and we can break up families, too. We can put Americans in jail, but you can't separate illegal aliens families. You can't put them in jail. Can't deport them. You can't let them decide, are you going to take your family with you or not? You can't do any of that. We've gotten to such a ridiculous point that you're right. It's fine to threaten American citizens, but not those here illegally. Strange situation.
It sure is.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Julie in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning. You guys were talking earlier about Donald Trump and his tweets. I really and truly think that what he's doing is bypassing the media, modern day, similarly to Reagan. They just bypass the media and go straight to the people.
Yes, it's exactly what he's doing. And it seems to be pretty effective. Drives the media out of their mind.
Sure does.
But it's a pretty effective technique. Thanks, Julian. And with the fact that the media hates him so intensely, you know, there's something to be said for doing it. Even though a lot of days,
yes,
I wish he wouldn't.
Yes, there is. And he sets the tone and he sets the agenda.
Every day.
And I mean, it's who's wagging the tail? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Jim in Washington, welcome.
Oh, hi, Glenn. How are you this morning? Big fan?
Doing good, but it's not Glenn. He's off this week, but that's all right.
Glenn's not in? Oh,
no,
that's not,
no,
my
no.
apology. Who am I speaking with?
This is Pat. Pat Gray,
as well as
Jeffy.
Oh.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Hello, I'm not Glenn either. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. You seem bummed out about it.
No, we're fine with it, actually, but I just wanted to break it to you gently.
Oh, no problem. Okay. Well, I was just impressed. I wanted to say how impressed I was with how Donald Trump, the hardline stance that he's taken on North Korea. A lot of these Democrats want to take a soft stance on it. Do you know Adam Friedland out of New York?
No.
Oh, he wants to take a soft stance on it. Meanwhile, he's a bug.
Meanwhile, he's a bug?
Yeah.
Adam Friedman is a bug?
Sorry, what did you say?
Adam Friedman is a bug?
No, Adam Friedland is a bug.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I appreciate the call. Thanks, Jim. What? What?
I missed something.
Have I missed something?
I guess you did, Pat. Yes, you did.
And you missed it as well?
Went right by me, Pat.
I had no idea.
Apparently, Adam Friedland is not a bug, but he is a bug.
Okay. Morgan in Utah, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call, Pat.
You bet.
Well, I was just listening to you guys talking about Kim Jong-un, talking about how he's got a button on his desk, how he won't attack first. But I just was thinking to myself, you know, Kim, if you really understood the history of the United States and how much we have gone to war, we have never lost. And if you think you got the stones to come at us with that button, you better be prepared, because not only are we back-to-back World War champs, but we are also winners of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and First Gulf, and we're still continuing on with what's going on in the Middle East.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Morgan. That says it a little more eloquently than he did, but yeah, I think that's generally the point.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck program.
During the break there, we were just kind of assessing our last callers statement that we are undefeated in war in the United States of America. Now, there are those who would maybe dispute that. Vietnam, for instance, maybe even Korea. But I was just kind of taking stock on America at war and trying to figure out what our record actually is. And maybe you just tweet that out to Kim Jong-un. hey, Revolutionary Kim. War, you got to figure definite win, yes. Right? War of 1812,
absolutely.
A win. Then you've got the Mexican-American War, big win. Then you've got the Spanish-American War. I guess you could consider the war with the Native Americans a victory. Let's see. Then you got World War I, World War II. Korea, I would say, is definitely a win. There are those who would say that was a tie.
Korea wasn't a win, but
I say it's a win because our goal there was not to take over North Korea. It was to keep them above the 38th parallel.
Which we did.
Now, you could say Vietnam was next after Korea. And many people call that a loss. I frankly don't, because we didn't lose that. We just left.
It's kind of a tie.
So I'll give you, that was a tie. All right, we did what we set out to do, and that's to keep the South the South. When we left, now that's your thing, okay? And they lost it quickly. So they lost. We weren't there at the time.
Right.
I'm gonna chalk that that's up to tough. A tie.
Yeah. yeah, tie's the worst that you can give that.
Yes. I think so. So then after Vietnam, then you've got, I guess, the first Iraq War, which was a victory. I think you could consider the present Iraq War, since we got rid of Saddam Hussein, a victory.
Well, it seems like it is anyway.
Afghanistan,
right?
We got rid of the Taliban, victory. See, Panama, I don't know if you can call that a war, but we kicked their ass.
I noticed right? You just skipped by Operation Urgent Fury.
At the Island of Spice?
The invasion of Grenada.
Oh, that's right. That was what, 83, 84?
So that was four days of hell in 1983, Pat. I don't know that you want. I don't want to bring it up completely.
Right. Okay.
You know, it was a tough time.
Okay, including the Island of Spice and the Panama butt kicking we gave them. That is 13-0-1. 13-0-1. 13-0-1.
How about that, Kimmy?
Okay. So, wouldn't hurt to remind Kim of that.
No, it would not.
And so, if for my money. Our caller was correct in that we've never lost. 888-727.
I want Trump to tweet that about 10 hours from now after he listens to the
podcast.
Let's
see if he does.
President Trump,
he tweeted what we said yesterday. Let's see if he tweets this too. We gave you a little idea there, President Trump, and you know,
you're welcome.
Make it yours if you want.
Yeah, it's all yours.
Mark in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Mr. Beckett there this week. I know that Mr. Beckett there this week, but y'all are usually pretty much three bees in a pod. You know, the bottom line on this is that Mr. Beck's position has been that he does not support any kind of military conflict with North Korea. They've got multiple warheads now. What's the solution? It seems to me that you guys are kind of as soft as the Democrats, because when he has 100 warheads, what do we do? Because he's not going to stop until somebody stops him. Mm-hmm. So what is the solution if there's not a military one? Because he doesn't care if his people starve out. He doesn't care about anything except his own preservation, and he believes that proliferation of the nuclear weapons that he possesses is his way to do that.
Yes.
So do we submit to him, or do we just continue to do this jawboning that doesn't work, because he's plenty well fed. You'd look at him; he's fat as a pig. what's the solution other than a military option? I know they've got artillery on the border that's real close to Seoul. It would require a real surgical procedure to get the missiles and the artillery, and to get him. But what's the solution? Because I keep hearing
very difficult.
You and Mr. Beck talk about a military option isn't an option. Then what is the option?
Well, I've never said it's not an option. It's not the desired option for me. I mean, I would like to avoid that. And so far we have. We've done a pretty good job of avoiding that. And I think Trump's hard line is helping keep him at bay. That's my personal viewpoint. But are you advocating that we do a military strike right now? Is that your position?
I don't know what else the guy will understand. I mean, the thing is...
So are you talking about a preemptive strike then?
Well, he's already threatened nuclear war against the United States, and he's also threatened nuclear war against our Asian allies and under CETO.
Yeah.
An attack on them is an attack on us.
Right.
He's already thrown missiles into the Sea of Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already a threat. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to see a mushroom cloud in San Francisco or Tokyo or in Seoul, Korea. What is it going to take? Because the guy has already said he's going to use it.
So you would do a preemptive nuclear strike on North Korea?
Not necessarily. If they think the cruise missiles and the killer drones get rid of all the artillery in the right where the demilitarized zone is to keep them from destroying Seoul and, you know, how many ever 30 million people.
Yeah.
You got to take those out. You'd have to take out the silos. They'd have to be able to identify that. But, you know, surely they would know if the silos open with the killer drones they have up that can spy on the thing 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much better thing. If you've got 15 to wipe out, that's a lot easier than 100.
Yeah. It's a dangerous proposition. Any way you look at it, taking military action could really escalate into a war with China. It could escalate into world war. So whatever we do, it could have really serious ramifications. I think you got to acknowledge that, right?
Oh, there is no doubt about that. But what's the Chinese response? I mean, the Chinese are smiling at us, telling us that they're doing what they need to do with North Korea.
I know.
But, you know, it's one thing to go across the river and attack us on a conventional military basis, but I don't think the Chinese would enjoy this any more than us.
No, they would not. That's true. No. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't see them going to war on behalf of North Korea, but the problem that we have is that we've been pussyfooting around with this, with his father and now him, his grandfather, his father and now him, and he's only gotten stronger militarily, weaker in every other aspect, but there's got to be something done to this guy, or he's really going to become a threat, and if he can start hitting American cities because he's working on the technology, it's better now than later.
Yeah, I understand your point of view. I think the point of view of most Americans is that we've got peace right now. And is it a precarious peace? Yes. But it's still not war with North Korea, and it's not war with China, and it hasn't developed into a nuclear situation. So I think most people would probably advocate not taking military action at this point. And we're not normally a first strike, preemptive strike kind of country.
Well, the threat has already been there. And, you know, when Neville Chamberlain called peace in our time, they had peace at that time, but didn't last for very long.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at what the guy is doing, what he's building up to. He believes his only preservation is the ability to destroy other countries, and his technologies get better. And when he gets much better, we've got a much bigger problem.
Yeah.
If Hitler had been stopped at Munich, it would have been a lot better than just waiting on him to do what he did.
True. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. It's a difficult scenario, and I don't think I've ever said there should never be military intervention in North Korea. My point is, at this time, I don't think that's the best solution right now. I'd rather avoid it if we can, and so far, Trump has. We've avoided an active hot war with North Korea.
And amen to that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, when you say that, you know, look, he's already a threat. Yes, but I don't think he's enough of a threat that we could sell that to the world of us striking first.
He's a blowhard.
Yeah.
And he's an immature idiot. And I don't know that the belief is that he would actually act
right on
his threats.
And I know that, you know, obviously we care very little about the UN and some of the other countries, but we do have some allies that we do care about. And with, you know, selling it to them as, hey,
and South Korea is one of those allies.
Which is right there.
And if we hit them with a preemptive strike, they are going to launch against Seoul.
And we've heard reports of how much damage North Korea could do to Seoul with what they have already in place.
Yeah.
And so to hit them and not knock out all of their capabilities of hurting South Korea is a big problem.
A really big problem. And then you could say, well, do we take the guy out? Do we assassinate him? you know, that's risky business too, because who replaces him? And right. then there's got to be retaliation after that.
Right.
Even if we're not the ones who killed Kim Jong-un, if that were to happen, they'd blame us.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it matters now. Right.
Right.
Which is actually, I mean, kind of, if you're inside North Korea and thinking about taking over, now would be the time.
I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision, because it's an impossible decision to make. It's just there's so many ramifications to any action. And that's why we've continued the inaction
right.
for so long. And now we've gotten to this point where anything we do could just destroy the precarious balance we have right now. I mean, taking any action will change the course of history.
And doing nothing changes the course. I mean, it's amazing how difficult it is.
It's impossible
to
know what to do. It honestly is. I mean, he was challenging us to, are we saying we shouldn't do military? I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm glad I don't make that ultimate decision.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad that, you know, look, if you look at it like we think that Donald Trump looks at America, I'm surprised that he hasn't blown him off the map already. Right? I mean, seriously. Because
fortunately,
you're right.
He has more sense than that.
I understand that. And yeah. Right. Good for him. And yes. I want him to have more sense than that. Thank you. That's why he yes. gets to be president. But you can't just go in and wipe him out.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Because thinking of what's happened so far, is that a threat? Not really. I mean,
well, he's been doing it.
It's a threat, but it isn't.
He and his dad and his father before him. I mean, the threats go back.
It's like
decades.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's the guy down the street. If he keeps that up, I'm going to call the cops. Mm-hmm. He goes back in the house.
The other element is, I'm not even sure they have the capability he claims to have. I don't know that missiles can reach mainland America. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, North Korea is backward technologically speaking. Has China provided them with what they need in order to reach the U.S. mainland? I don't know, maybe, but I know everybody's claiming that they do, but
seems
I'm not
like it
totally
would be a,
convinced.
Seems like it would be an awful huge leap to
yeah,
go from where they're at
yes,
overall to having an underground capability of being able to shoot a missile thousands of miles.
I don't know that they can, and maybe they can. Do you take the chance and then do a preemptive strike? I don't know. That's not us. We don't do that.
Right.
888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy. Pat Gray Unleashed coming up right after the show on Blaze Radio and television. Let's check in with Tim in North Dakota. Hey, Tim. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you guys are talking about Vietnam was a tie, but... Really, I don't believe so. We don't have a military presence like we do in South Korea. And
well, you don't have to have a military presence there to have won the war.
Well, yeah, but it's what Saigon called now. It's Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah, but that wasn't because... That was after we left.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, we pulled out and left them. You know, I spent 19 and a half months over there. And
thanks for your service.
It's well, yeah, you bet. But it just, I felt bad about leaving. We had invested so much time.
I know.
Everything
I know.
In there, and then to leave them
yeah.
like that. I just feel that we lost it. And it was, you know, I loved the Vietnamese people there. And it was, you know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I just feel that regardless what we do with Kim Jong-un, this over in North Korea now is, you know, it's going to be another hassle in the American people. How many more lives? You know, I just
right.
Believe we've got to protect our borders and our interests and things. But
I'm kind of there too. Anyhow. I'm kind of there too. Thanks, Tim. And that's why I'm so hesitant. That's one of the reasons I'm so hesitant to start saying, yeah, military intervention is appropriate here, because we don't do military intervention the way we used to do it.
No, we don't.
We go in halfway every time. And halfway is not going to be good enough. Now, if you're absolutely committed to crushing the enemy and then getting out well, that's a different matter. But when was the last time we did that? I'd say World War II, probably.
Yeah.
World War II. You do what you have to do to win. You don't let political correctness enter into your prosecution of a war. And then you come home.
Because it looked like we were going to do that in the first Iraq war.
Well, we were promised.
And then we pulled
shock
out.
Shock and awe.
And then we pulled up.
And that's happened every time since World War II. 888-727 Beck. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn all this week.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. They've quickly replaced Matt Lauer on the Today Show. Looks like Hoda Kotb already started. And there's some controversy on the Hoda Kotb front.
No.
Hoda Kotb is making a paltry $7 million a year.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sick about it, Jeffy. I am sick about it.
So
that's $18 million less than Matt Lauer was making. In fact, you add up the salaries of the two of the co-anchors now. Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie.
Yeah.
It only adds up to a $14 million salary, which is $11 million less than Matt Lauer was
making. I would walk.
Absolutely. I think they should. And I'll do it for even less than... I'll give them a $2 million discount. I'll do it for $5 million.
Oh.
You're welcome, NBC. Just give me a call later on. Tweet me at Pat Unleashed. I love the Hoda Kotb situation because I'm pretty unfamiliar with her. I glance at the TV as we're on the air, but I've never seen the Kathy Lee and Hoda show or whatever it is. And so I'm really not that familiar with her, except for I know she has a strange name. That's about what I know about her. I was reading an article yesterday that called her very funny and highly popular.
Yeah, they love her.
Never heard any buzz fans on her, but, you know, okay.
I have not either. I mean, I know you and I, spend a lot of time talking television hosts.
Uh-huh.
And for some strange reason, Hoda has never come up.
Not once. Until
today,
recently,
of course. Yeah, the last couple days.
Yesterday.
But she, I guess they fell in love with her when she, was sharing her battle with breast cancer show.
Yeah,
and
I have heard.
And, so that she's covered a lot of stuff for a few big stories, and she's, her struggle with adopting a child. And so, I mean, okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
But they're going to make a discrimination thing out of this because she's making so much less than Matt was.
That's why
Matt
Lauer
is a genuine television star and has been for a couple of decades. A genuine TV star. You're going to pay him. He was your main guy at NBC, especially after Brokaw was gone.
Yeah.
Nobody has the recognition that Matt Lauer does, and so that came with a price. And he was able to work that. Now, is Hoda as valuable as Matt Lauer? It doesn't have anything to do with her gender. I just don't think she's the magnitude of where Lauer was.
Look.
So you're not going to pay.
If Hoda and Savannah can lay out some numbers that are serious and get to keep the viewers, maybe in
you can get some leverage
year.
And say, okay, I
absolutely
walk, you don't pay me $18 million more a year.
Yeah, we both or they
more
both
power
go
to you
and say, look, we know right now you can't, you're not going to pay us $25 million each, so give us 12 and a half. 12.5 each.
Well, that's unfair because Matt got all $25 million to himself, and then they paid Savannah $7 million on top of it. Plus, then you've got Al Roker. I don't know what Al's making.
But I wonder what Al is. I bet you Al's making what, 10?
It's got to be more than Hoda and Savannah, right?
Right.
He's been there for a long time. He is the mainstay in all of this.
He sure is.
And, of course, the guy who...
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
The guy who pooped his pants. And that's got to be worth something, right?
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I pooped my pants.
So why?
It happened to be at the White House when he...
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Now, how much is Poo Poo Pants making?
They're saying 8.
So it is more.
So
it was
pretty
that
close,
much
not
more.
Much, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good gig.
He does the weather.
That's
and he talks
gig.
To the audience once in a while
and
outside.
And he does the parade.
And the parade. And
that's a good gig.
I'll do all of that for half of what Al makes.
And, of course,
$4 million.
For $8 million, I may go on TV and say,
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I'll do that for $1 million. I mean, just face it. It's a great gig either way.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not sure too many people are going to shed a tear for it, but that's it. The principle of the thing is what we'll be arguing for a while, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
They'll make a big deal out of this. 888-727-BECK. We were talking last week because of the president's tweet foreign policy situation. He tweets our foreign policy almost every day. And yesterday it was my button's bigger than your button. Led us to discussing military options for North Korea or not. And we had a caller claim that the United States has never lost, and we should probably point that out to Kim Jong-un. There are people who do believe, and we've heard from them, that we lost the Vietnam War. And I don't subscribe to that. It's like, we weren't there when they lost. What do you mean? We didn't. Had we stayed, they never would have taken over in South Vietnam and merged those two countries under a communist regime. It just wouldn't have happened. Everybody knows that. We had to leave to enable them to sweep into South Korea and be victorious. We weren't there at the time. That's not our loss. That's South Korea's loss. Right? I mean, that's the way I've always summed it up. Not that history books are paying attention to the way I've always summed it up. Let's go to Tim in South Carolina. Tim, hi. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow, what a massive honor that the famous Pat Gray and maybe more less famous but more infamous Jeffy. I'm calling from right outside of Columbia in the booming metropolis of Lugoff, South Carolina, where we have about 58,000 people and just a few less headed cattle. I'm a 30-year medically retired naval aviator, naval officer, and I just
Thanks for your service, guys.
You don't realize that when you guys say that, it's our honor. It really is our honor to. I mean, we served at the pleasure of the president, which means we served at the president at the pleasure of the people. So it's our honor to do it.
Well, you're welcome.
absolutely, thank you. We appreciate it. I just want to. Well, this is why your show is so important, because you guys are throwing out there the truth. These people, people don't. Anybody that says we lost doesn't know history, and they probably are young, and they probably haven't covered it in history class.
Right,
and that's a shame. Like a lot of other things, they don't know, and they just need to read. Don't watch. You can watch documentaries. That's okay, but read and read everything. Read what you don't like politically. Read what you like politically, and you'll get the truth. You'll sift out the truth. But the truth here is, after the Tet Offensive, the North Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong stopped functioning as a fighting force. When we left, they had just better stuff than the other guys, the South Vietnamese, because we left.
Right.
It's that simple. Why did we leave? I don't know. I wasn't there. I was born in 63. So I want to say to Tim in North Dakota, three things I say to Vietnam vets, because I'm post-Vietnam. Thank you for your service. Thank you for doing what you did, and you paved the way for guys like me to serve, guys and gals like me to serve.
Yeah.
But this is why your show is so critically important. You're out here telling the truth. You're out here spreading the truth. You're out here making sure that history is shown to be the right history. There is a right history and a wrong history, and we see a lot of the wrong history. So you guys keep up the fantastic work. I never thought in a million years I'd call a national show, but I'm glad I did call this show.
Me too.
I've been listening to you guys since just after you started, and all I can say is that you make me laugh uproariously. And you guys speak for the truth, and I'm proud to say that you guys are in our market, and we appreciate everything that you do, and I am done. Your call screener is excellent. That's a hard-working person right there. Just wanted to throw that in. You guys have a happy
Absolutely
time.
Right.
I'm going to go off the air. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. That's very nice. 888-727 back. I wholeheartedly agree with the fact that we did not lose in Vietnam. And the perception really began with Walter Cronkite that we were losing in Vietnam.
Where do we?
Walter Cronkite in 1968 during the Tet Offensive actually virtually claimed that America was being overrun, or that the United States troops were being overrun. The absolute opposite was true. We won the Tet Offensive. Now, thousands, tens of thousands of North Vietnam troops amassed and poured into South Vietnam. And at the same time, Chinese troops helped. And we staved off that entire invasion. And for some reason, Walter Cronkite spun that as a loss and that the Vietnam War was going poorly. And it because he was so important to Americans' daily lives,
at the time,
the most trusted man in America and all that, people just bought into it. From 1968 on, the perception pretty much was with Americans, we're losing. We're getting our ass kicked there.
It
and
sure
it just
was.
Wasn't the case. Just not the case. And history books kind of went along with that theory. But we kept them at bay. And again, like as in Korea, the point was not to go to North Vietnam and take the fight to them. It was to keep them out of South Vietnam. We were trying to stop the spread of communism. Well, we did that while we were there. Is that not a victory? If you want to say we left prematurely, fine, let's call it a tie. But we did not lose that war. We did not lose that war. Darlene in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hello. Excuse me. I'm still wiping my tears from HOTUS bad news.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
I know.
Anyway, I'll
feel your pain. Okay.
Trump is such a negotiator and a successful one, and I think it's because he knows how to get down to the level of who he's negotiating with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what he's doing with Kim, is he's getting down to his language, his reactions, and knows how to use it against him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Darlene. He's effective. He's a master at it. He knows, and he knows how to get under the skin of the media. And I think he enjoys that.
Oh, yes.
There's no question he enjoys that.
And he's got some big award thing he's giving out next week, right? He's actually
doing
it.
The media?
Yeah. The
the worst coverage and the most fake news. And it's a negative award,
yes,
right?
It's a negative award.
Yes.
Stay tuned for next week. And Trump's going to be giving out these awards. I mean, you know that just...
It's so amazing for the president of the United States. This is so unprecedented. It's kind of hard to get used to, but it's certainly entertaining.
It sure is.
Never a dull moment in the Trump administration. Larry in Oklahoma, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Jeffy, it's an honor and a real honor and a pleasure to talk with you guys this morning. You're really on top of the news. I'm sure you've heard Donald Trump talk about... requiring drug screening for unemployment checks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the left is going crazy, saying that is dehumanizing and insulting.
Unbelievable.
I hope it's not too early for a little common sense and logic, so let's look at that from that perspective. Before a person can get an unemployment check, they first have to have employment to get a check.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Before they can get that employment, they're required to pass a drug test.
With some companies, yeah.
Most companies.
Mm-hmm.
Any reputable company today requires that. So I don't see this as something that's dehumanizing and disgraceful. I see it as a consistent policy. If you have to pass a drug test to get an employment check,
yeah,
you should be required to pass a drug test to get an unemployment check.
And I agree.
Just that's, to me, logic and common sense.
I agree.
I think this is nothing more than another step from those members of the movement to resist Trump on all fronts. That's all this is. And anybody that tries to make more of that out of it than that is probably part of that movement.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Larry. 888-727-BECK. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour, which is LifeLock. If you're doing a lot of post-holiday shopping from your mobile device, retailers expect 54% of holiday shoppers to visit their sites from a mobile device of some kind. Scammers see this as a really good opportunity to steal your credit card information and other personal information by distributing phony retail apps. So be careful and only download apps from reputable app stores. Read the reviews and complaints about malware. Now, one in four people have experienced identity theft, and this is many ways, one of the many tools that scammers use. So if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen in so many different ways, and you might not even know about it. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If you have a problem, U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it for you. I have LifeLock. We've had them for years in my family. They are fantastic and have alerted us to so many times, so many problems. And a lot of times when something just looks suspicious and they're checking with you, and I appreciate that so much. They catch everything, virtually nothing. Now, nobody can catch absolutely everything, but it seems to me that they've caught everything necessary in my life. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock does the best job possible. So get 10% off with the promo code BECK, B-E-C-K. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK. That's BECK to save 10% right now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. What is the deal with Steve Bannon now?
He seems a little unhappy with the Trumps.
All of a sudden, he's done a 180 on the president. His former chief strategist, and I think he's still the head of Breitbart, right?
As I know.
He's described the Trump Tower meeting between the president's son and a group of Russians during the 2016 election campaign as, quote, treasonous and unpatriotic, unquote. According to a new explosive book, Bannon, speaking to author Michael Wolff, warned that the investigation into alleged collusion with the Kremlin will focus on money laundering and predicted they're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV.
Wow.
Look for a tweet about this.
That's not going
about Steve Bannon shortly.
You aren't lying. It's not going to go over good with our president.
This is the big banner headline right now on Drudge, which obviously the president reads continuously. And when he sees the huge Bannon banner headline in red, he is not going to be happy. Wow. I wonder what has happened in the relationship, because he was even after he left, he's been fairly loyal, it seems. Trump camp.
Tough not to be, right? I mean,
and now, not so much. Wow.
I mean,
that's interesting.
I don't know what happened, but
something did.
For sure. You aren't lying. It did.
Something definitely happened. 888-727 back. Dennis in Ohio. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Jeff. Hey. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
The reason I called, I disagree with both of you, especially you, Pat,
okay.
about Vietnam. We never lost a battle in Vietnam. We only lost it politically. Because I was in the service in 63 to 67, right when it started getting heavy.
Yeah.
And I was on three destroyers, and we bombed the coastal. Just literally blew it off the map. But I just wanted to straighten you guys up.
Okay. Appreciate your service, by the way. Thanks,
Thank
Dennis.
You.
Appreciate the call.
Well,
We definitely disagree on that. I mean, politically, maybe. But, when you're talking a war, I don't know if you're talking politics. You're talking about who actually, it's like a football game. Did you win by the score? Well, yes, but the owner lost the team afterwards, so he kind of lost anyway.
Wait, what?
I don't know that I agree with that. Ryan in Georgia, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Glenn.
It's Pat.
I just was curious.
Mm-hmm.
I had a quick question with you. When the president election was going on, you weren't too high on Trump's
getting
elected.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
I was just curious, very. I follow all your podcasts and listen to you. And I think now, are you saying that you are proud of the job he's doing?
I'm saying that I'm pleasantly surprised with the job he's done. And, as we said at the very beginning, we're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. So far, it's been pretty good. I mean, I still have problems with him and the way he conducts himself and Twitter. But some of the things he's done, and we've outlined them, and we'll do so again, I'm sure, have been very, very good.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. You can also catch Pat Gray Unleashed right after the show on the Blaze Radio and TV network. Should clear up, because our last caller mentioned our feelings for Donald Trump during the campaign. And we made that pretty clear.
Yes, we did.
To our own peril, in fact. I mean, that's what we tell the truth. I mean, we express our opinions. That's what we do. And we were not excited about his candidacy. I didn't think he was the best candidate. We made that fairly clear. He's not a, even Donald Trump would tell you he's not a conservative. So I wanted a conservative president. But when the election came and went and Donald Trump won the presidency, we stated from the very beginning of his presidency that he's our president.
Yes.
He's our guy now. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what he does. I'm willing to sit back and watch to see, which we also did with Obama, by the way.
Yes.
And he disappointed us very quickly, like day one. But for Donald Trump, this president has done some really good things. Obviously, the Supreme Court nomination, the EPA regulations that he has cut.
Love that.
The Paris Accord he got us out of. The TPP treaty that he pulled out of. Giving state land back to the states. A states' rights move by the executive that I can't remember the last time we saw that.
Oh.
We've also had huge gains in the war against ISIS. There's been a lot of things to be pleased about. He passed a tax cut bill that was kind of Congress, but he's going to sign it. He's the one who drove them, and it wasn't the best tax cut. I think we should have done better than that with the majority we have. But, you know, those are all good things. I still have some issues with this president, but I think on the whole, I've been pleasantly surprised so far. And we'll see if that continues. I hope it does. But we've wished him well from the beginning. Right?
Always. That was the whole point. I mean, nobody wanted to hear that. They wanted to hear us bashing him and not treating him with the Donald Trump as
or
the greatest
ever. Or they were so mad
ever.
At us because we didn't jump on his bandwagon immediately that they ignored everything we said.
Right.
I don't know what, but...
But, I mean, it is important to realize that, look, we're judging him on his merits. That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole deal. We don't want him to fail. He's the president of the United States.
It'd be silly.
Unlike many people, I believe, against this very president in today's world who want to see him fail.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, they've said so.
The media, for example. And the media has been so ridiculous in their criticism of President Trump that it also pushes you into defense mode.
It sure does.
On his behalf. Even though you might not be the biggest supporter, they're so outrageous.
Well, come on.
In their hatred.
Yes.
That it just pushes you to jump in there and say, come on.
You have to.
Come on. 888-727-BECK. Jack in Georgia, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
I wanted to...
Hey. Jack?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the difference between winning and losing is who's in charge. In World War II, the generals were left in charge.
Mm-hmm.
MacArthur in the Pacific, and who was the guy in Europe? Anyway, the difference in
Eisenhower?
Iraq.
Uh-huh.
No, not Eisenhower. Marshall.
Okay.
Was the guy who rebuilt Europe.
Oh, well, the Marshall Plan afterwards, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So okay. We remained. We
yes.
remained, but... The military was in charge.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Iraq, we beat them militarily. Vietnam, we beat them militarily, although we did not go far enough. You have to use force.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the State Department takes over and the military withdraws, you lose. That was true in Iraq. The day after the war was over, and they were in Baghdad, the general had signs printed up that said, if I see you with a RPG or a long gun, I'm going to kill you. The State Department came in and said, you cannot do that. We're here to win hearts and minds. Well, first you have to have the people's attention.
Uh-huh.
Then Petraeus came along with a surge and retook the country. And that's not arguable.
Right.
The State Department came in and gave it away.
Yes, but I think you're right. Appreciate that, Jack. We've been talking
militarily.
Yes. And that's what the discussion has been on our part is whether or not we won it militarily, and I believe we did. And this all started from a caller who said we've never lost. And I just wanted to clear up because I knew a lot of people were Vietnam, we lost Vietnam. What about Vietnam? Remember Vietnam? So we're just making sure everybody understood. I don't think we lost. Worst case scenario is a tie.
Yeah. Worst case.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah. Joe in Ohio, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Thank you. My question is, if you quit, is that considered a loss?
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Whether it's militarily or politically or whatever, we quit. Do you consider quitting a loss?
Not for the military. Again, did we win it militarily? Yes. It wasn't the military loss. It was the politicians who got us out of there. And the politicians couldn't take the heat from the American people anymore. It was such an unpopular war.
It was a tumultuous time, and that's why I think a lot of these veterans of Vietnam War are addicted to drugs and alcohol. They're homeless. They're downtrodden. I think they thought they lost the war. I think that's part of the problem. The government let them down, and I think it psychologically affected them in that way.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I mean, there's no argument there. Appreciate it, Joe. Again, the argument was, did we win militarily? And I think yes, we did. Yes, we did. So, but yeah, was the perception that we lost? Yes, that's why people have been saying that we're 12-1 in wars now. Every time somebody brings up Vietnam, they say, "Well, when we lost in Vietnam, well, we didn't lose.
Right.
We didn't lose that."
Right.
The point is, American military might has never been vanquished. Never. Not in our history. Bob in Alabama, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning, sir.
Hey.
What I'm calling about is something that I've been hearing on TV a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking about our country, what kind of a country do we have? Do we have a democracy or do we have a republic?
Yeah, we have a republic, obviously. One of my biggest pet peeves.
Why do people keep talking about our democracy?
I know.
And it doesn't stop.
Yeah,
I mean, it has been endless, and it's been endless really since the beginning, maybe before, but for sure it just became so noticeable during the Barack Obama presidency.
Yeah, because he's trying to get everybody used to the term.
Yeah, and it
so
worked.
When we head to democratic socialism, well, we're a democracy.
It worked.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. That's why I fight that battle all the time. That's why it's my pet peeve. I can't stand it when people call it a democracy. We're not, and even our founders said, democracies don't work because they looked back over history and found the fact that they don't work, which is why they didn't set up a democracy. They set up a republic. Sam in Wisconsin, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hey.
I just wanted to say with all the goings on today, it seems like reminds me of an old Western where the sheriff is crooked, the prosecutor is crooked, the judge and the governor.
As it relates to who are we talking about?
The Justice Department.
Yeah.
People in the Justice Department, the people in the FBI.
Right.
Judges, perhaps higher than that.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Sam. You're right about that. Republicans on key congressional committees right now are saying that they've uncovered new irregularities and contradictions in the FBI's probe of Hillary Clinton's email server. Investigators say they've secured written evidence that the FBI believed there was evidence that some laws were broken when Hillary and her top aides transmitted classified information through her insecure private email service.
Some laws.
Did she break every law?
No.
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 No, so get off her back.
I mean, you're going to break a couple yolks if you crack some eggs.
And so that's what he's talking about here. It's just, then you get that perception that everybody is corrupt, because as they're looking into corruption, they corrupt the investigation. <I know. laughs> I guess we're just supposed to look the other way and say, don't even worry about that. Don't even worry.
That's Hillary.
It's Hillary, and Hillary's just being Hillary. She already explained that it was probably not the best decision. She may not do it again if she had the choice. Leave her alone.
She knows. She's with Bill. They're back home. Everything's fine.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Thank you.
If Thank I could you. Just sum it up that way.
Thank you.
Bottom line, what difference does it make?
What a great line.
So, of course, we've got the perception that everybody's corrupt. You have that perception that we're living in a bad Western movie now, where the sheriff is bad, the deputy sheriff is bad, the mayor is bad, the governor is bad, everybody's in on it, and they're all going after the honest brokers in their community. Yeah, because that's what it feels like.
It sure does.
Speaking of the way things feel, it is still really cold in much of the United States.
Yeah, we've got the weather bomb going on across the country, right?
We got to get into this. 90% of the U.S. didn't get above freezing on New Year's Day. 90% of the country, including Dallas, Texas, which is highly unusual.
But 100% of this room
is not above freezing. It's still today. There's no doubt about that.
I love it.
And then again, when you talk corruption, so what are the climate scientists saying? Yeah, it's because of global warming.
Of course.
The cold is because of global warming. So no matter what happens as far as the weather is concerned,
doesn't matter.
It's global warming.
It's climate change, and then they made us believe, right, that weather was different than climate change. At first, it was climate change was the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people started doubting that, it's, well, weather isn't climate change. Climate change is separate from weather.
It doesn't matter what the argument is. They win because everything means global warming.
Right.
If it's warmer than normal, obviously that's global warming.
Of course.
If it's a lot colder than normal, that's global warming. If it's about the same, man, that's global warming.
That's climate change.
It's unbelievable to me. And sure enough, they're citing this cold front as more evidence of climate change, because people are saying, look how cold it is.
You're right.
What do you mean global warming? We've got record-breaking cold everywhere. Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. That just means that there's global warming. What?
It is, though. I mean, they're looking at flurries in down to Central Florida. Possible flurries, and then all the way up the East Coast, it's cold all over the country, man.
Ooh. Yeah, it is. It's frigid, and that's because of global warming.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727 BECK. You know, we were just talking about the cold that has gripped about 90% of the country. In fact, 90% on New Year's Day, 90% of the nation didn't get to the freezing level, didn't get to 32. That is crazy.
That sure is.
And of course, that means global warming to the global warming scientists. An Australian science writer she wrote this article, and she noticed what I think many of us have noticed for years now. She said, for the radical climate crowd, extreme cold is just weather. But all heat waves are climate change. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
While heat waves and extreme weather events are routinely pointed to as indications of global warming trends, the coldest weather in over a century that we're having right now, that's just the natural variability of the weather cycle. Yeah, things change. Of course, it's going to get cold sometimes. Well, yeah, that's what we tell you about the heat. Why do you never say that about a heat wave? Well, yeah, that happens. It's always happened. We've always had heat waves. That's why some of the records we have are from 1932. But every single like you mentioned, we used to be told all the time, don't confuse weather with climate, because that's, you can't do that. So any weather-related event, like a storm or a heat wave, that's just one day or a couple of day cycle thing. But climate is over a period of time. Then all of a sudden, every single heat wave that happened, it's global warming. Every hurricane that happened,
There it is.
Then they fell silent during the 12 years of no hurricanes hitting the U.S. mainland. And then all of a sudden, a few do. And of course, that's global warming. Just unreal. Let's go to Josh in Alabama. Hey, Josh, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Glenn. Always love your show. I just wanted to bring up a point about the military losses. You may have already brought it up. I may have my facts a little misled. But didn't we get our butts handed to us in Panama?
In Panama? No.
What?
Our butts got handed to us in Panama? I don't think so.
Yeah,
hang on a second. We're out of time. We'll get back to this on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week, 888-727-BECK. Immediately after the show, you can also check out Pat Gray Unleashed every day on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. We're going to get back to Josh and our discussion. We've sparked some controversy here. One of our callers a few hours ago now mentioned the fact that the U.S. was unbeaten, and it had to do with the tweets between Trump and Kim Jong-un, and maybe we should mention that, hey, we're unbeaten in war. And I knew that people were going to say, well, what about Vietnam? And so my perception, my belief has always been we didn't lose Vietnam. We left. And they lost Vietnam. Well, not us. We'll get back to that discussion in a second here. But an interesting little problem developed in Dallas last night. Are you familiar with Erykah Badu? Of course you are. I mean...
Are you asking me?
No, yeah. I mean, no, obviously
the
you are.
The Erykah Badu?
Yeah. I mean, you know, famous for such songs. That, well, I won't even get into
there's
the long
one.
List.
There's the one song that she does, man.
It's just
love.
So terrific. I just love the Erykah Badu songs.
Well, I love the hush.
That she does.
I love the, you know, her look.
The whole look.
With the long hair and the hat.
Yes. That. She got pulled over in Dallas last night. And she said, "Officer, why are you pulling me over?" He smiled and replied on camera, which she was filming, because I wanted to say hi. So a Dallas police officer, obviously familiar with Erykah.
Absolutely.
Badu and all the great songs that she does, actually just pulled her, recognized her as he's driving by her and then pulls her over. And apparently that's a problem. Despite the good-natured intention of the stop, there's a serious legal issue with the impromptu meet and greet.
Stop it.
Police are supposed to at least have probable cause that a driver has done something wrong before pulling them over.
Stop it.
Is that a huge issue? It doesn't look like Erykah Badu is making an issue out of it, but other legal minds are.
Abuse of power.
I know. It seems kind of silly.
It's totally unprofessional. Is it? Is it for the police officer to say, hey, I just want to say hi. I'm looking out for you. Thank you.
It's no. Kind of a goodwill gesture.
Yes, it sure is. But it's okay if the police officer pulls just anybody over and gives them a turkey over the Thanksgiving holiday or gives them a Christmas present over the Christmas holiday.
Which
it's
they've done in some
they do all the time.
Yeah.
All around the country, they think it's cute to just pull people over and give them presents, but they can't just stop and say hi. Stop it.
Actually, police are trying to, you know, create the right perception of them.
Thank you.
They're helpers. They're there to serve and protect, but they're also good people. And that's why I think in a lot of communities, like police officers are encouraged to stop and hang out with kids once in a while.
Yeah.
Just to show them, look.
I mean, they did.
We're not a scary force. We're here to help.
I mean, I know it was, you know, back in the turn of the century, but they did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew you knew the police officers in the neighborhood.
Right. And it seems that they're trying to get back to that. I've seen videos of communities that encourage them to stop and hang out. You've seen the videos of them playing basketball with kids
basketball,
in the neighborhood,
baseball,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cool thing. 888 888-900-888-727-BECK.
Terrible thing.
No,
there's nothing that they should be reprimanded about.
It doesn't seem like a thing that needs to be made into a national crisis.
No. No, it does not.
So let's just move past that. Okay, Josh in Alabama, you were saying that your belief is that Panama kicked our butts?
Well, you know, once you said no, I pulled over, of course, and I got on the internet, and now I realize my initial statement was way off base. I don't
know. Where did you get that
in my head?
Did you?
Maybe
okay.
During the time that it was going, I was living with a set of step parents that were highly Democrat and very liberal.
There's your problem.
Maybe that was it.
I'll bet it is.
I'll bet it is too.
Thanks, Josh. Glad we were able to clear up that lifelong misperception.
If it wasn't their fault, it was Walter Cronkite's fault. Yes. I'll tell you that. The way he reported on Panama.
Panama was 89. I doubt
he was alive.
He just, I don't think he was doing the CBS Evening News.
He was on the sailboat.
Panama was a huge victory. We invaded the country in 1989. I think it was December 20th. Within 4 days, we had almost total control of the entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the...
control. And that's when we removed Noriega. Brought him to Miami.
Yeah.
Made him stand trial. All of that stuff.
I mean, it only took 4 days to
secure the island of Spice.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like to talk about those
but,
days.
You know, I just let, I like, you know, it's.
So I wasn't going to go
victories
there.
Today.
Yeah.
And it's important to note that that was an important victory.
So. Jeff in Tennessee. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hello. I could disagree. America has lost the war. I'm from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and here in the South, we lost Lincoln's war, and it fundamentally changed the way we see ourselves.
Yeah.
That wasn't America, though. That was
lost that war.
That was the Confederacy. America won that war. The Union won that war.
I think the results of that war left us with a centralized government where we had been a federation of sovereign states. Mm-hmm. And now with Washington, the national government being viewed as supreme has mm-hmm. caused a lot of the problems we have today. You know, and the way we look at it. I hear on this program a lot of times, and the basis of all this is the fact that we lost this war, and it changed the way this government operates.
That we, meaning the Confederacy, lost the war.
Yeah,
you sound like a guy who'd like the
America.
South. You sound like a man who would like the South to rise again.
Well, no, not necessarily. I like us to go back. To being the states being sovereign and us being a federation instead of being the other way around. I think the local governments and the local control is more important than what happens in Washington.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still a certain amount of that. It's not like it was during the Confederacy, obviously, but there's still a certain amount of local sovereignty and local control and state control. The states have certain rights. Yes, federal law supersedes that in some cases, although I'm not sure that's the right word for it. But, for instance, the marijuana laws that people are passing in Colorado and California and Oregon, there's a federal law against smoking marijuana, buying, selling marijuana. Well, those states have declared it legal and nothing's been done about it.
Right.
Is that not state sovereignty?
And there is still a spark of the old Constitution out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but it changed the way, the South, we view ourselves. We did suffer from a war and defeat and things like that. And
I think
because people don't look at it that way, a lot of times it's not taught that way.
Yeah.
Not anymore, that's for sure.
Well, and in some
how bad the war really was.
With good reason in some cases, it did end slavery, which if that changed the perception of the South, so be it. because the perception of the South was that they were slave states. Hopefully you wouldn't want to return to that. Right?
No, no,
so,
but that wasn't the cause of the war. That was a
it actually was.
But it was economics, and slavery could have been ended like it did in the British Empire.
Well, it could have been, but it didn't because it kept going on, and because the South insisted on slavery to the extent that they withdrew from the Union. I don't know how else you could have ended slavery. It ended 30 years prior to that in Britain. It wasn't headed in that direction here.
I know for a fact that Tennessee didn't secede for slavery. We seceded because we're going to be invaded. And if you look at history,
well, you wouldn't have been invaded if you didn't. You wouldn't have been invaded if it didn't secede.
If they'd have a war, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, they wouldn't have seceded. But anyway, I just want to make that comment.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
A little disagreement there. The Civil War was definitely about slavery, and don't let people.
And you've
try
come
to
around
tell you.
To that though.
Oh yeah, I've always believed that. I think Glenn's come around to that.
Okay, that's.
Andrew in New York, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey Glenn, how you doing?
It's Pat, but I'm doing great.
Oh man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't believe everybody missed this. The War of 1812.
What about it?
We declared war on Britain because they wouldn't leave our shipping alone, and then we got our butts kicked a little bit, and then we sued for peace. And
got our butts kicked?
What?
We won that war. What do you mean we got our butts kicked?
Listen, if burning the Capitol doesn't win you the war, I don't know what does.
Well, it didn't win them the war.
No, it did not.
Despite the fact that they burned the White House to the ground, it did not win them the war. We absolutely won the War of 1812. Otherwise, we'd be a British colony again.
Right.
I was mistaken. I thought we sued them for peace to see if
we
would be kind enough to end
we
the
won.
Hostilities.
Yeah. Britain was not kind enough to do anything for us in those days. thanks a lot, Andrew.
What is wrong with you people? Why America.
What are they teaching in school today? Is this where this is coming from?
I don't know.
Wow.
But we're America, damn it.
There's a lot of people who believe we lost virtually every war that's ever been fought.
Stop it.
Wow.
I'm taking back the tie for Vietnam. We won that too.
Brian in Tennessee, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right. Well, enjoying this climate change down here in Tennessee.
And
wanted to talk about South Korea. I spent a year over there in the military in 83. Our capabilities of knowing what they're doing, what they're moving, and where it's at is spot on. If we did have to break out into a war over there, I don't know what the situation with our nuclear capabilities over there. I don't know. I know Obama removed them from South Korea. I don't know if they've been put back or not.
Uh-huh.
But we had the capability of knocking their stuff out and doing it pretty quick. Now, I know it still would be hard on Seoul with everything they got pointed at Seoul, but we would do a pretty good job over there cleaning up their the North capability of strike.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And you served in Korea for a time?
Yes, sir.
How long were you there?
I was there 12 months.
Did you feel like the people there appreciated our presence or
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
The South Korean people are wonderful people.
Yeah.
When I was over there, I got a chance to talk to a colonel that was there during he was retired during the Korean War, and I was stationed at Songtan-si, and Hill 180. When they took that hill, the North Koreans had crucified women and children up the hill. Our soldiers had to fight up that hill and literally hand-to-hand at the last point of the battle and jump in the trenches and grab the North Korean, throw him down down the hill for his buddies to bayonet. That's how fierce it was. And the North Korean soldiers, they're just heartless, and they—I mean—they're
they're a brutal force and should not be just kidded around with.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed. When I was there, the leader at the time, I think it was Kim Il's grandfather, and his father was head of the North Korean Special Forces Unit, and we knew he was a nut job from the beginning, and funny, much less.
Yeah.
So it's a bad situation there right now and stuff. And like I said, I know President Obama removed our nuclear capability from South Korea, but I don't know if Trump's reinstituted it or not. Do you guys know?
I don't.
I was just kind of looking up.
Appreciate the call, though, and thanks for your service, Brian.
When you said that, thank you, I was thinking, do we actually get rid of them? I remember talking about them, but what I can find out is we did get rid of the tactical nukes out of South Korea.
Although
because
we could still reach North Korea with submarines, right, with missiles,
right? Because
ICBMs.
They were talking about some of the military people from South Korea were saying that it might be time for us to bring back the tactical nukes to South Korea.
Yeah,
that has been this earlier, 2017, last year. But I don't believe they have. However, you're right. There's plenty of nuclear power that can hit them.
Plenty.
No problem.
Yeah, 888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727 Beck. Big announcement from Orrin Hatch yesterday of Utah, who's been in office since just after the War of 1812. So he's got some experience. You'd call him a seasoned senator, I think, at this point.
Seasoned.
This has been in office for a little over 190 years.
Right. I mean, I know he said one of his statements, I don't know if it was his own little Facebook live feed or whatever it was, but I know he was, bragging on how good he's been over the years and how he's got the most
legislation
and laws passed. And his timeline was living senator. And I thought, well, so? I mean,
I know
you're the last one alive since the beginning of the country.
Span the entirety of the U.S. Senate.
But I know,
somebody convinced him
goodbye.
In the last few months.
Have a nice day.
To get out. And I don't know who that was. Maybe it was his wife.
They said it was his wife. Reports were that his wife was saying, this is it. You don't run again. Be done. I want word. You're done.
Yeah.
And so, I guess you have to kind of believe that.
Guy's 83 years old.
Yeah.
It's definitely time.
Yeah.
And he's been terrible for most of his senatorial career.
We're talking about Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, the senator from Utah is what we're talking about, right?
He's been terrible.
I don't know. I'm talking about Orrin Hatch, the guy that's been in office for 40 years.
The guy who reminds me of, I don't know, John McCain, perhaps, that sort of politician. It's sad that we get comfortable with people and we just allow them to stay in office forever.
And that goes back to the term limits chat we had yesterday, man. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the thing, like, the term limits are the voters, but again, that's almost kind of what it is, really, is the complacency of,
whatever, I know him.
He's already there.
And I don't know the other guy.
He's already
there. I don't want to lose any of the power that we wield because he's been there for so long.
Right.
That's what happens. President Trump tried to convince him to stay. He wanted him around for years to come because Hatch has been a very big supporter.
Oh, a big proponent of Donald.
Big. And so he's not going to have that. And that's why it's a huge deal to Donald Trump that Mitt Romney might run, because Romney's not a fan.
I know.
So that'll be interesting to watch. First of all, to see if Mitt runs, which I expect
that.
Him to.
I know you say you expect,
him, expect
to.
Him to.
I don't.
I think
he
will.
He's 70 years old now.
He's already said he would consider it strongly if Hatch stepped down. And at the time, it looked like he wasn't going to. But now he has. So we'll see. We'll see.
And our boy quit altogether, right? He's just Mr. TV star now. The guy that was the congressman. That
Jason Chaffetz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just done, right? It's over.
Yeah.
He hurt his foot and had a surgery and quit the Congress.
Yeah. So I don't know if he would consider getting back into it and running for the office again. But he might be a possibility for that opening.
I mean, he's comfortable enough with the state and familiar enough name-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I know that the president and the entire Trump camp is not excited about that possibility, but they may have to face it anyway. Could be a Senator Romney soon. We'll find out because he's going to have to declare pretty soon. The election is this year.
He wants to be a senator?
It's November. I don't know.
Romney.
We'll see. 888-727-BACK.
It's a good gig. Yeah, it's a good gig, but he's 70 now. Does he need it?
He's only 13 years younger than Hatch.
I know. Does he? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be that.
Yeah, need I don't think figures in. Do you want it? That's the question. We'll see.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy this week. Say what you will about the President Trump tweets. North Korea just reopened their border hotline with South Korea. Does that mean something's working? Kind of seems like it.
Sure does.
I mean, yeah, it's been tense over the last 6 or 8 months, and everybody was wondering, was this the right thing to do? You just really ratcheted up the heat, but now it seems to have cooled off. Things seem to be maybe even improving somewhat. All of a sudden, North Korea is making these gestures to South Korea. They're reopening the border hotline with the South. They just did that today. They already tested it. It apparently works. It's open again. They've also extended an olive branch to the Olympic Games that are going to be held in South Korea next month.
They've also the Winter Olympics next month, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was talk by Nikki Haley that we might not even go because the tensions were so high. It would
be so dangerous, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much done.
Sure
that's
has.
Over. We're definitely going. And North Korea has basically promised not to do anything.
I mean, that's you've got to believe that that had definitely something to do with Trump's big stick. Look, we're bigger. Have a nice day.
Right. I said it's reminiscent of the "my dog's bigger than your dog" kettle ratio campaign. But
my dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's faster than yours.
Wow. My button's bigger than your button.
That's classic.
My button's bigger than yours. And did it work? I kind of think it did.
Sure looks like it.
Kind of feels like it did. 727, it's 1-888-727-BACK. Let's go to Elizabeth. 800?
No, hi,
no, it's 888. Hey, right. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi, Pat and Jeffy. I'm happy to talk to you.
You too.
I just wanted to call because, well, first of all, I really have to commend you and Jeffy on your attitude change about Trump. I was a never Trumper, primary and also in the general election.
Uh-huh.
And
that was a tough time, man.
Those are tough times.
Your life.
it was. And, I mean, I started out just because the media and the people in Washington were so atrocious, I just started out feeling I had to defend him. And
yes.
Thank you.
But yeah. But there's one thing I have to disagree with you on.
Okay.
I love the tweets. I absolutely love the tweets. I'm like a kid at Christmas waiting for, you know, Santa. Yeah. What are you going to bring me this time?
Are you?
Hey, you're definitely not alone.
Well,
on that,
Christmas
sure.
comes every day for you then, because those tweets are nonstop.
I mean, I was concerned this morning. I was, you know, working, filling in for Doc Thompson on the morning show on the Blaze Radio Network, and President Trump didn't tweet all morning.
Oh my God.
I thought he'd lost his phone. I thought we had to send some help into the White House, man. But
fortunately,
he found it. Yeah, something happened.
But I know, you know, it's like he's always pulling people's chains. He's got a quirky sense of mischief that comes through there. But no, and don't get me wrong. I pray every single day for Donald Trump, for God to give him wisdom.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the tweets go a little far, But, I mean, can you imagine, I mean, if Solomon tweeted, you know, like, okay, you broad, stop squabbling. I've got a big sword. I mean, I don't know if he would do that, but.
I don't know either. But, there was a lot of wisdom there with that guy.
At
so.
Solomon.
But, yeah.
At Sol.
I've been proud now to call him my president. I never thought I would be. And of course, there's also, we don't have to see Barack and Michelle in the
thank heaven.
Amen.
Thank heaven for that.
I mean, he gets a lot of points for that.
Yes, he does. Thanks a lot, Elizabeth. Appreciate it.
That's for sure.
I mean, people do love it. Again, it's why I think it's one of the reasons he was elected.
Yes.
They just liked somebody speaking their mind, somebody defending themselves and the Republican Party and the values that the right has, and not taking crap from them anymore. Yes.
That's most important.
There's a lot to be said for that.
There sure is. There sure is. And there's a lot to be said for that and how America sees America. I mean, you see with our callers today, I mean, how many times
we have somebody who's not apologizing for everything
right.
we've done. We've got somebody who has said America first. I mean, we all respond to that.
No kidding.
Except for the left. They seem to respond better to America in the middle or maybe down the bottom.
Well, I mean, that's what they want.
That's what they want.
Kind of the plan, right?
They want us brought down to size.
Some of the plan was that, we can't bring up some of the weaker countries
right.
as high as the U.S., so we've got to bring some of the U.S. down.
Now, they never admitted that, but that's obviously the strategy.
Yes.
David in New York, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, Pat and Jeffy. I wanted to point out that you said one of your pet peeves is when people say we have a democracy instead of a republic.
Yeah.
And one of my pet peeves is when people call things wars that aren't actually wars because we've only had about declarations of war in history.
That is true. That is true.
We've only declared war about six times. The Revolution, War of 1812, Mexican-American, Spanish-American, and World War I and II.
Right, but it's hard to say the Vietnam police action all the time.
Or Vietnam armed conflict.
Or the armed conflict, yes. So people shorten that a little bit, but you're right, it's technically not correct.
So you can't really lose a war if it wasn't a war, can you?
No, you can't. No.
Right. I noticed you didn't mention Urgent Fury.
The Island of Spice. Grenada.
So, I mean, thanks for your call, Dave.
Near and dear to Jeffy's heart. Thanks a lot, David. No, that was not called a war. That was not declared either, right? I mean, having been such an integral part of that, surely you know that.
All I know is we went to battle and we won one for the
Four
the
days Gipper. Of hell, yeah.
Don't.
What? I'm just I'm admitting that it was four days of hell for you.
It was.
Ron in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for all you do. Just quick point. You know, Kim Jong-un is a bully, and Donald Trump is the type of guy, to me, that wasn't pushed around as a kid. I mean, you look at – I'd love to ask Barack Obama if he ever got in a fight as a kid, because I bet he just stood there and let the bullies push him down and punch him in the face, walk the other way, and now we got a guy that's not bending down, bowing to the leaders – and this guy's a global boy, and Trump's just not going to put up with it.
Yeah.
So, that's what I got to say.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
That certainly is the perception of Donald Trump, and good. That's what got him elected.
And yes, and Americans are responding to it because we've been pushed around for so long, and the mainstream media has had free reign. Of saying whatever they want without any retaliation against them. Well, that's not the case anymore.
That's
and
correct.
They don't like it.
No, they do not.
How dare you respond to something we've said? You can't respond to what we've said. Well, yes, we can. And he does, and he's not going to play that game where he allows them to set the tone every day. He sets the tone every day. As he did yesterday with the big button thing.
And they've got to be loving because he announced also yesterday that he's going to have the most dishonest and corrupt media awards next week.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to be apoplectic about that, too.
They are going to lose their minds. I will be announcing the most dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year on Monday at 5 o'clock. Subjects will cover dishonesty and bad reporting in various categories from the fake news media. Stay tuned.
Is he just so he's tweeting it? Is that going to be a series of tweets as well?
It already has been. Yeah, he tweeted that yesterday.
Tony in Arkansas, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, Pat.
Hey.
I just want to say real quick that you know, I ain't really too worried about North Korea because the Ohio class can drop 192 warheads on them.
Yeah.
And, but right now they're in a building stage, and if we don't do something about it, they're going to get so massive that it's going to do a lot of damage before we can stop them. Because they've already broke the armistice this year. And I don't remember what was in the armistice, but I'm pretty sure that them having nukes also broke it. But I'm not sure on that point. But I also wanted to say real quick that Steve Bannon, he needs to learn the meaning of traitors because, you know, we're not at war with Russia, so anybody can talk to a Russian right now.
Yeah.
And not a traitor.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tony. And there's been no collusion proven. There's
right.
A lot of, you know, there's a lot of accusations. There's been no proof yet. Also, we have another person who's just been fired for sexual harassment, supposedly, right? This was in the college football world.
Yeah, University of Arizona, Rich Rodriguez. Yeah.
Who came to fame, I think, at West Virginia, right? And then
he went to Michigan.
Then he went to Michigan. Didn't last long there. Went to Arizona. Now he's been fired from Arizona for some allegation, which they investigated and then basically said, yeah, we didn't find anything.
This person who used to work for him with a hostile workplace claim, and she alleged, you know, all this stuff. And the only thing that she alleged that he admitted to, he said everything else was wrong, was an affair. Was an extramarital affair. And he, you know, said he's working that out with his wife.
Did she admit that was a consensual relationship or not?
It wasn't with her. It wasn't with the person that was complaining. It was someone else. The complainant was saying that she had to cover for him.
Oh, okay.
You know, as part of the hostile work environment.
So the person he was having an affair with wasn't the complainant?
No. No. And, yeah, the university looked into it, and they said, we checked it all out, and we really couldn't find anything.
So we fired him anyway.
Get out of here. Okay. What?
So they looked into it. They couldn't find any evidence of sexual harassment.
It was weird.
So why did they fire the guy?
I mean, look, the guy is kind of a, you know.
Did they go to football reasons then? I mean, are they just not happy with the program? Was he going to get fired anyway?
Yeah, it's possible. The program had slipped a couple notches, although, you know, it appeared when he showed up it was looking good, but then he had some injuries, so, you know, you use that as an excuse for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And they just lost lost another bowl game. It's coming off a big loss. So, you know, it's possible that it was time to let him out. Now, look, before you shed too many tears for Rich Rodriguez, for sure he's walking away with $6 million.
Oh, wow.
As his buyout.
That's a nice way to walk away.
And then there was another part of his contract that was, I wasn't sure. I got to figure out what that is so I can put it in a contract if I ever get a contract. It was some deal that he had with the university that was going to be worth a little over $3 million if he had kept his job until March. And since they got rid of him before March 15th or something like that, mid-March, it's only worth 25% of the $3 million. A little $3.5 million.
Oh, okay.
So he gets a little bit of that, too.
So he's going to get about $6,500,000.
You know, $7 million maybe, somewhere in there. You know, so he'll, you know, he might be able to survive a week, you know, get by. I don't know.
We got to get in touch with these college coaches and find out how they have such great parting deals.
Boy, no kidding.
Wow. 888 888-
No kidding.
727-BECK. Sponsor of this half hour is Simply Safe. You're doing a lot of post-holiday shopping from your mobile device. You know, retailers expect about 54% of holiday shoppers to visit their sites from a mobile device. Now, scammers use that as an opportunity to steal your credit card information and other data. So be cautious and only download apps from reputable app stores and read the reviews and some of the complaints. 1 in 4 people have experienced identity theft. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen. Your identity can be stolen in ways that you might not detect. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If you have a problem, U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it for you. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. Join now. Get 10% off with the promo code BECK. 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK to save 10%.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hey, if you've been thinking about your home security, there's just no better time to get it than right now. You've heard me. You've heard Glenn. Stu, sing the praises of Simply Safe Home Security. It's just the best protection. That's why. Just the best there is. Simply Safe has put together a massive security arsenal for your home. Special package, handpicked just for you. It has entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything you need to stop criminals from ever intruding into your home. Skies are the ones I trust. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you, our listeners, an absolutely incredible offer. You get $200 off this handpicked security package. $200 off. It's complete protection for your home. They're already the best value in home security. No contracts, no commitments. But right now you get $200 off this special package right now. Just go to simplysafebeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save $200 on this Simply Safe home security pick. SimplySafeBeck.com.
I don't want to get through today without mentioning the horror that's taking place in Oregon for some residents in the great state of Oregon.
What's happening there?
Took effect this week.
Yeah.
That means that if you live in a county with less than 40,000 residents, you now pump your own gas.
Oh my gosh. How can anybody be expected?
I don't know how that state could be alive.
How can anyone be expected to pump their own gas?
It's horrific. Horrific. I don't know how they're going to survive. And apparently,
what if they're smoking a cigarette and they drop it down the gas tank while they're pumping?
I mean, there were some people commenting from the news story that talked about, I don't even know how to pump gas. I'm 62.
And they're serious?
No, thanks.
I don't want to
smell like gasoline.
So in Oregon, like New Jersey, they always have an attendant do it.
Yeah.
There's what, two places in the world left like that? Yeah.
You get pretty used to it, though. You know, I used to get gas in New Jersey when I was there, and you get pretty used to it.
That used to it, where you don't even know how to do it?
No.
Come on now. No. Let's suck it up in Oregon. It'll be okay. I promise.
Glenn Beck.